Okay. I'd like to call the meeting to order, please. Okay, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the board meeting of Metro. The first item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda, so I'd like to make a motion to approve the agenda. Is there a second? Any discussion of the agenda? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed, the ayes have it. Our next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes for the June 22, 2017 board meeting, June 22, 2017 executive session, July 13, 2017 executive session, and July 20, 2017 executive session. So I'd like to move the approval of the minutes at this time. Is there a second? Any discussion of the minutes? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, the ayes have it. Thank you. I'd like now to turn to our general manager, Mr. Wiedefeld, for the employee spotlight.
Great. Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Today we're going to recognize two Metro bus operators for their actions while on duty. As Metro bus operators, our employees have front row seat to life in local communities. When you drive a route every day, week after week, year after year, you interact with residents and witness events, both good and bad, as a few others do in the community. On two recent occasions, our bus operators were on the scene during troubling events and acted bravely and smartly to help those around them. The first occurred on Wednesday, June 14th, as Metro bus operator Michael Thomas was driving the 10A route near the YMCA baseball field in Alexandria, Virginia. On that morning, as we all know, his trip past the field, just as a gunman was ambushing the congressional baseball team practicing there. Several police officers surrounded the Metro bus and detained it from further movement. Operator Thomas is credited with keeping his passengers safe and calm during an extremely dangerous and stressful event. The second occurred on the evening of Thursday, June 8th, with traffic lined up in the Adams Morgan area of D.C., a driver tried to cut ahead of traffic at a high rate of speed and struck two Metropolitan Police bicycle officers. Metro bus operator Anthony Perkins was there and sprang into action. He secured his bus and ran to the scene to assist. The following day, Metropolitan Police Department Chief Peter Newsham singled out Operator Perkins along with the first responders and the hospital staff for saving the life of one of the officers. During a press conference, the chief said, and I quote, "There was a Metro bus driver, and I've seen the footage. This driver sprinted. I've never seen a man run so fast to go to the aid of a fallen officer to try to render medical assistance." What the chief did not understand was that Mr. Perkins actually was a professional football player at one time and played at Syracuse as well. Today, we thank Operator Thomas and Operator Perkins. You impacted the lives of others by going above and beyond the call of duty. We appreciate your heroic actions and courage you displayed while safely transporting customers. Please join me in accepting your recognition.
Okay. Thank you very much, and again, congratulations to our two officers and bus operators. Okay, now we'll have the swearing of our two new board members, David Horner and Steve McMillan. Where do we go?
Read this first.
Okay. Okay, so today I have the distinct pleasure of formally swearing in and welcoming Steve McMillan and Dave Horner to the Metro Board of Directors as the new principal directors representing the federal government. They are filling the seat vacated by David Strickland and Carol Carmody. Both new appointees to the board will bring extensive backgrounds in U.S. transportation, infrastructure, innovative financing, and federal regulatory policy. So I'll begin with Mr. McMillan.
Where are we going?
Okay. All right, we'll read this first. Sorry about that. Steve McMillan is a partner at the U.S. Policy Metrics in Washington, D.C., and brings more than 20 years of policy experience, including serving as a deputy director of the White House Office of Management and Budget, OMB, from 2006 to 2009. In that role, he was responsible for leading the development and execution of the federal government budget. Steve also served as a deputy assistant to the president and as OMB's associate director for general government programs, responsible for budget and management oversight of six cabinet-level agencies. We're looking forward to having his leadership and policy expertise on this board. So I'd ask Steve to join me so I may formally swear him into his new role.
Okay. Now, keep breathing.
Okay, Steve, could you please repeat after me? I, Steve McMillan.
I, Steve McMillan.
Do hereby solemnly swear.
Do hereby solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
From which I was appointed.
From which I was appointed.
As a principal director of the board.
As a principal director of the board.
Of the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority.
Of the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority.
And will faithfully discharge the duties.
And will faithfully discharge the duties.
Of the office upon which I am to enter.
Of the office upon which I am to enter.
Okay, congratulations.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Okay. Now for Mr. Horner, David is a partner at the law firm of Hutton and Williams in Washington, D.C., where he focuses on public-private partnerships and the development of transportation infrastructure in the United States. David has extensive transportation experience, including serving as the U.S. Department of Transportation Deputy Assistant Secretary for Transportation Policy and Chief Counsel at the Federal Transit Administration from 2005 to 2009. He is widely recognized for his expertise in federal transportation law and has acted as counsel on multiple landmark public-private partnership projects, including the development of the FTA's public-private partnership pilot program that serves as a model for similar programs today. We're looking forward to having his leadership, regional focus, and policy expertise on the board. I would ask that Mr. Horner join me so I can formally swear him in to his new role. Okay, please repeat after me. I, David Horner, do hereby solemnly swear.
I, David Horner, do hereby solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
From which I was appointed.
From which I was appointed.
As principal director of the board.
As principal director of the board.
Of the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority.
Of the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority.
And will faithfully discharge the duties.
And will faithfully discharge the duties.
Of the office upon which I am to enter.
Of the office upon which I am to enter.
Okay, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Okay. One final matter, as a matter of business, I understand that both of you are abstaining from action items today. And Steve, since Bob Laube is your alternate, I understand that you are yielding your vote to him for today's meeting. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you very much. All right. All right, our next item on the agenda is our public comment. We have a number of people signed up for public comments, so we'll begin that at this point in time. Please remember, we have 2 minutes, right? 2 minutes. Where's the clock? There's a clock.
Right, over here.
All right. There's a clock. There's a light that goes on that gives you a warning. And then at the end, please tailor your remarks so that they end at 2 minutes. We have a number of people on the list. The reason we ask you to stay within your 2 minutes is because it's not fair to the people later on the list if you go over your time. So again, please stay within your 2 minutes. At the end of the 2 minutes, if you're still talking, I'll ask you to stop. I don't like doing that, so please tailor your remarks to that time period. So our first person is Philip Posner. Mr. Posner. Come on up. Where do they go?
Right here.
All right. We have a new setup in the room here, so today's our test case. Yes. Our test case here, how this all works.
Good morning. I just want to talk to you about elevators. Recently, staff has changed the elevator default to the platform level rather than the street level. There are three sets of elevators in the system, ones that go from the platform to the street, platform to the mezzanine, and mezzanine to the street. The default to the platform is very good because it helps to empty the platform during rush hour. But the mezzanine to street level, it would be preferable to have the default be at the street so that people aren't standing out there in the heat, the rain, the snow, and the cold. And that would not interfere at all with the evacuation or emptying of the platform during rush hour. So we made that request through the AAC about a month or so ago and have gotten no feedback on it. And so I thought I'd mention it to the board and thought that you might be interested in it. The other item is, on riding the new 7000 series cars, I have noted that the middle doors no longer have the no bicycle sign on them. And so I don't know, as a safety issue, whether staff has decided that bicycles are okay at the middle doors, blocking entrance, exit, and everything else, or whether it's just been an oversight on the new trains or it's just not cosmetically attractive. So those are my two items, and thank you for listening.
Okay, thank you very much for coming down. Okay, our next public speaker is Dee Curry. Okay, welcome to the Metro Board.
Thank you. First, let me acknowledge the hardworking men and women who work for Metro who are dedicated and professional civil servants. I'm here today to make a statement addressing a campaign instituted by Metro to combat chronic abuse surrounding fare payments. As a person who rides the Metro buses and subway extensively, I do understand the need to collect for services rendered, even when said services is often inadequate and sometimes questionably rendered. Do we have chronic misuse of the Metro system? Yes. Do we have chronic homelessness, chronic unemployment, and chronic health care issues in communities of color? Yes, we do. So how do we address both issues? Certainly not by targeting the least fortunate, by promoting a clandestine campaign to fine, penalize, and incarcerate the least fortunate among us. As I stated earlier, I understand the dynamics surrounding the issue, and I have done my research. I am familiar how Metro gauges bus routes that have preponderance of unpaid fares. But I also understand that in many of these routes live many struggling individuals seeking employment and housing, homeless and indigent. Does that excuse not paying their fare? No, but it also does not excuse Gestapo measures, i.e. entrapment, to address the issue. Metro ever-increasing race is also a part of the problem. Contributing a climate of distrust are the few Metro employees who treat certain neighborhoods and communities with blatant disdain and disrespect. I have witnessed all from both sides of this spectrum. We must, as a community, be held accountable. How do we get this to happen? Metro must end the $50 fining of individuals who can't pay their fare, let alone a $50 fine. Metro must hold its employees to a standard that does not promote judgment, bias, or discrimination. Should there be a zero tolerance of violence on our transportation system? Yes. But there equally should be a zero tolerance of mistreatment of our citizens who live in Metro regions, regardless of the community they reside. I have witnessed all while riding Metro, but for me, there is no excuse for a paid employee of Metro to disrespect seniors, refuse to pick up law-abiding individuals because of their perceived gender identity, and to judge all by shortcomings of a few. I asked an employee of Metro what was Metro's number one priority. He stated to address unpaid fares. It should be the safety of its citizens in this city. Thank you.
Okay, our next public speaker is Zuri Hashira.
Hello.
Good morning. Welcome to the Metro Board.
Good morning. My name is Zuri Teixeira. I'm a rank and file member of ATU Local 689 and rail car maintenance technician. For nearly a year and a half, we have come before the board stating our concerns about safety, funding, and reliability of service. In that year, we have been almost completely ignored by Chairman Jack Evans and almost all of you on the WMATA board, with a few exceptions. So today we stand before this body to address the newest members, Mr. Horner and Mr. McMillan. On behalf of more than 13,000 ATU Local 689 members, we are also voters in this region. We would like to welcome you to Metro. Mr. Horner and Mr. McMillan, we are well aware that your appointment under the presidential administration, you have specific tasks that you have been charged with. And we are well aware that many of those tasks will be intentionally harmful to Metro's workforce and riders. That is why we come to you with one simple expectation: be honest with your workforce and with the public, something this current body has failed to do. Since Mr. Wiederfeld became general manager of Metro, we have heard false claims after false claims. The riding public, the public we interact with day in and day out for hours, have no confidence with anything that comes from WMATA's leadership is the truth. They experience the delays, they see the fires, they have dealt with the closed rails, and all they've got to show for it is a free cup of coffee from McDonald's. The riders of this system are not drinking Wiederfeld's Kool-Aid anymore, and the union will continue to make sure that the public knows the truth about what's happening and who is doing it. To respect the time limit, we have a series of speakers who will come before you guys today. Next up is my colleague.
Okay, thank you very much, and thank you for the respecting the time limit. Next, we have Leon Huntley. Mr. Huntley, welcome to the Metro Board.
Good morning. My name is Leon Huntley, Jr. I'm an ATU local shop steward and train operator. Mr. Horner and Ms. McMillan, over the last few months, our union's president, other elected union representatives, rank and file members like myself, and members of the community have all come before this body to state our concerns about the safety, reliability, and affordability of Metro. We have also shared ways we believe we can improve the services Metro provides. We have not been listened to, even at this crucial time when Metro is literally at a breaking point. Many of us were present when this board voted 14-1 to endorse the general manager's long-term plans for Metro. They did this without so much as a committee meeting to discuss its tenets and what its effects on the system would be. We've made it clear, crystal clear, that Wiederfeld's proposal for the future of Metro pit riders against Metro's workforce by blaming just about all of Metro's problems on our compensation. Well, he is wrong about that. In fact, just last week, Robert McCarthy of the Washington Post published an article showing that our pay is typical for the transit industry. But this board chose not to explore those findings and just drink the Kool-Aid of endorsing Wiederfeld's backwards plans, a plan that's bad for everyone.
Okay, thank you very much. Next, we have Mr. John Winters.
Okay.
Mr. Winters, this is the order that I was given, so yeah. Okay, Mr. Winters, welcome to the Metro Board.
All right, thank you. My name is Jonathan Winters. I'm a rank and file ATU Local 689 member and a rail car maintenance worker. Mr. Horner and Mr. McMillan, the members of Local 689 are committed not only with our funds, but also with our feet to make sure that the public is educated on what this body is doing so that they are not drinking the Kool-Aid that Wiederfeld and this body are serving and drinking. And you don't have to take my word for it. The board chair, Jack Evans, will surely tell you that we've been in his district, we've been in his neighborhood, and on this block just a few weeks ago to make sure that the riding public understands that the WMATA board is out of touch and taking this system backwards. And we will be there again. And then we will come to the neighborhoods of the rest of you as well. It is wrong for you to drive up here from the comforts of your home while we and our riders experience the hell of an underfunded and unreliable Metro. So new members, we know that you have your marching orders from the current administration, But we ask that you be open and honest about your intentions so that the public can have an opportunity to voice its concerns. The WMATA board has done enough backdoor deals and selling out of riders and workers. We challenge you to do it differently. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. The next speaker is Jamsaya Campbell. Ms. Campbell, welcome to the Metro Board.
Good morning. My name is Jamsaya Campbell. I'm a rank and file ATU Local 689 member, and also I'm a bus operator. All of us at Local 689 were disgusted when we read the comments made by Chairman Jack Evans, when he told the Washington Post that the District of Columbia did not need campaign finance reform because, and I quote, "This is not Prince George's County." Comments like that are exactly what would stop us from getting the regional cooperation we need in order to fairly fund Metro and fix many of the system's problems. Our union represents more than 13,000 people. Of those, 7,000 live in Prince George's County, including myself. When Chairman Evans made that offensive and unnecessary remark, he not only offended the elected officials of Prince George's County, he also offended more than a third of the workforce here at Metro who he is responsible for as chair. This type of unprofessional, offensive, and juvenile behavior from an elected official who is the leader of the board is completely unacceptable. And it is our hope as a union that you, Mr. Horner, and you, Mr. McMillan, will rise above the petty and divisive politics that stifled Metro's growth and ability to secure fair and dedicated funding. Sitting at this table and pretending to want regional cooperation and then going back to your constituency and belittle other regional partners is bad for the system, bad for Metro riders, and yes, bad for those of us who work here.
Okay, thank you. And next is Tracy Smith. Welcome to Metro Board, Ms. Smith.
Good morning. My name is Tracy Smith. I am an ATU Local 689 Executive Board Shop Steward and also a bus operator. Mr. Horner and Mr. McMillan, the workers and the riders of Metro deserve better than a WMATA board that listens to no one, makes poor decisions without adequate research, and deliberately chooses to take Metro in the wrong direction. So to our new board members and the senior members as well, if you are here to privatize Metro and put the profits of a private company ahead of safety, reliability, and affordability of Metro, then just say so. At least that way the public will know who they are up against. Or if you are here to decrease the federal government's contributions to Metro, even though the federal government contributes nothing to the operational cost of the system, then say so. That way we will know who to make sure not to reelect. This body is well aware of Local 689's proposals to save, stabilize, and improve Metro by instituting a flat $2 fare, restoring bus lines that Paul Wiedefield and this board cut, expanding hours of service, and working collaboratively with management and workers to institute a safety culture that will keep us all safe. It is not too late to change, stop the bleeding, and get Metro on the right track. But it will not be done through deception, poor leadership, and rubber stamps on the false or incomplete information the general manager brings to this body. Mr. Horner, Mr. McMillan, we are here today to ask you to do it differently, be honest with the public, and drive Metro forward.
Okay, thank you very much. Our next speaker is Benjamin, and Benjamin, I can't read your hand, but it begins with a V, though. V-A-L. Okay, come on up. Welcome to the Metro Board.
Thank you. Come on. Good morning, board. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm coming here for Silver Spring, Maryland. And on the business, Benjamin Sorobari in Silver Spring. And Selling Road, they're going to make a bike trail for, and they're going to cross one line. So we are not against to the project, but we want to shut down our business for everybody, just not for me. So it's going to be big impact for our business to for be successful on the future. I had business for 17 years, and now Metro, I don't know, they're going to do the bike trail in front of our shop. They're going to close one line, and then nobody can go in and out from our street. So I want to please be considered, do another plans A or B for that projects, you know, in the future, because it's I'm not speaking just for me, for everybody on the street. They got business, and they're gonna, in the long run, they're gonna shut down our business. So please, all the boards and the Metro director, be considered in the future for this project. Maybe they can make another plan A and B for us.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for coming down. Our next speaker is Jonathan Moser. Mr. Moser, welcome to the Metro Board.
Good morning. My name is Jonathan Moser. I'm a business owner also in from Far East Motors, also in Silver Spring, Maryland. My auto repair business is on a one-way street, Selim Road, which borders the WMATA railroad tracks. I wanted to make information to you, the board, aware of the situation that will cripple mine and many other businesses in Silver Spring. Several years ago, the Montgomery County Council approved a bike path construction on the land that WMATA owns between my business and the railroad tracks. Upon investigating this project, I found out that Montgomery County does not own that land and only has this week put in the paperwork to WMATA for approval of this land for the use. Even though that you, the board, might not be aware of the situation or project yet, I have asked for our petition signed by every business on the Selim Road against this project to be included in your notes tomorrow. I would appreciate your review of our petition, and I stand before you today to ask that WMATA board and any other department of WMATA do not allow the use of this property in a way that will harm the livelihood of our long, many-standing businesses of our community. There are many more details of this project, too many to mention here today, that will irreparably harm multiple businesses and put some out of business. At my business, Far East Motors, I take anything that can harm my business seriously. The bike path proposed by Montgomery County will definitely harm our businesses during and after construction, as the plans also call for the elimination of valuable parking alongside the WMATA land that our businesses now have access to and sustain our thriving businesses. So again, I ask, when the approve-disapprove vote comes out later on in your agenda, please vote against the WMATA property on Selim Road to be used by Montgomery County. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, our next public witness is Michael Sindra. Welcome to the WMATA board, Mr. Smith.
Morning, all. Michael Sindrum, disabled veteran, served our country more than most. A couple articles I passed up to Mr. Wedefeld, and I won't belabor the point. I'm going to share them with you as well, Mr. Chair. I want to focus my limited time on what's been spoken of with the two previous speakers. The Selim Road, it's called the Metropolitan Branch Trail. and the intent is to connect Silver Spring Metro with Union Station, so to have a continuous bike trail. The issue is on Salem Road, it's a very narrow thoroughfare. It borders the Ramada train tracks. So if in the future you guys need that property, if you give it away now, it's a done deal. The issue is that Salem Road has businesses that are by and large, well, they're all exclusively auto repair collision shops. So you have flatbed trucks that come in there. So with the narrow thoroughfare already, it's difficult, it's challenging to navigate. If you decrease, that width, you're going to make it impossible for those flatbeds, tow trucks, and whatnot to get in there. What you're doing is you're going to put Far East Motors, Benjamin, there's Hannigan's that have been there for 60 years and counting. You've got Rossi's, you've got Prestige Auto Body, you've got LG, you've got two restaurants too on the corner that abut Salem on the Sligo. One is an Amharic restaurant and Vietnamese. They will all be put out of business because of the spatial constraints, the parking. There's also a church. Sunday, it's a Pentecostal church, a mega church, and they happen to utilize the parking on Salem Road. If you take it away, it's going to irreparably harm the businesses and all concerned. So the county, Montgomery County, just recently submitted a request for transfer. So we're bringing it to your attention now in the pursuit of right, reason, and fairness with the expectation, that you'll shoot it down. It's not that we're opposed to the bike trail. It's that we're opposed to this portion of it. In fact, there was an ANC meeting, Vine Street, which the trail is going to stake through as well, spatial constraints. The point is there are alternate ways to do this and to put folks out of business that have been there for years, their livelihood, just is not fair and not right. I know, Mr. Wedefeld, your heart's in the right place, and you don't want that to – do not want to see that happen. So I understand, again, the paperwork for Montgomery County has just been submitted. I was wondering, too, if you could point out Nina Albert, the real estate lady. Is she here, perchance? Yeah, okay. So we'll get you a petition. So thank you, and, we'll get you that petition, Mr. Chair, and then you can, hopefully conduct your action accordingly. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, nice tie, by the way.
Okay, thank you. Next witness is Denise Rush. Welcome to the Metro Board, Ms. Rush.
My name is Denise Rush, and I'm Vice Chair of the AAC Committee and Vice Chair of the Metro Access Committee. Today, I'm not representing any committee, but the customers who are using Metro Access. A few questions, their concerns. The fare went up, and it was expected to be 25 cents for the rail and 10 cents for the bus. Then you double that for Metro Access users. But that's not what happened. A dollar, it went up $1, $1.50, $2.50. And so it was really a shock to the community who's already stressed on fixed incomes. So the fare has gone up, but you need to be honest with the public on what the increase is, how it's going to affect Metro Access. There's a report all the time from Washington Post on this amount, that amount, but it's never really fair to the Metro Access users. Also, we just purchased 200 plus buses. Now, the buses only hold one wheelchair. So the public is concerned that you're increasing the number of people who are eligible for Metro Access, but the buses that we purchased are only going to be able to hold one person for a wheelchair. They're concerned about that. Also, the abilities ride. We have been waiting and waiting to hear who's going to be receiving that award, but we want to make sure that the $5 is what it's going to be. Is it going to be $5 or is it going to be more for the Abilities Ride for Maryland? And I want to thank the people who did their term to board members and welcome the new board members. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Rush. And our last public witness, or public comment, is Bill. And Bill, again, I can't read the rate. It looks like OR, and I can't read the rest of it. So, Bill, are you here somewhere? Yes? No? Mr. Is it Orleans?
Bill Orleans.
Orleans? Bill Orleans? It's not here. Okay. Okay, thank you all for coming down. And oh, Bill, you're back. All right.
I hope I'm not forfeited my...
Never, Mr. Orleans, never. We're always very happy to hear from you. So welcome to the Metro Board.
Thank you. This week, I've had a chance to participate or attempting to do so in three different discussions of to come up with an alternate plan for development at North College Park Rebuilt Station. In each of those meetings, no one had the answer to what is the status of the joint development agreement. So my comment today is actually in the form of a question. And as I've been indicated in the past, I think anytime someone in public comment asks a question, it should be considered a PARP request. I therefore look forward to an answer to the question, what is the status of the joint development agreement for North College Park Rebuilt Station? Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. Someone will, from the general manager's office, will get back to you. Yes, sir. I'll let him go. What the heck? Come on. Our general rules are if you don't sign up, it's closed, so we don't have a mass of people, but why not? 2 minutes.
Thank you. I'm Rob Whitfield, the Fairfax County Taxpayers Alliance. I've come to maybe 50 or 60 board and board committee meetings since 2011, and I see how much work you have to do, and when we have dissent, it's not easy. So first, I appreciate the service of Carol Camodi and David Strickland, I think was his name, and Mr. Dormsho, who will be leaving you shortly. I'm concerned on two things. One, the proposals made for a regional sales tax and not taking account that the proposal would result in over 50% of such sales tax revenue coming from Virginia. And Mr. Evans at a public briefing several weeks ago made light of this, saying that DC no longer has new automobile dealers, and so it's entirely fine with him that Virginia is paying over 50% of the projected sales tax. This clearly is not going to fly, and therefore I suggest that management consider other options. I know that there's a study committee for COG, strategic committee, but this is not a light matter, and we need frankly, last 2 weeks ago, the governance committee meeting, I didn't appreciate the way in which the proposed revisions to the committee were ramroded through, and governance has been now subsumed within something called business oversight. I think we need some clearer goals regarding management, and I hope that you will work on that. But the main thing is we have to come up with a revenue and expense plan that's credible in all the jurisdictions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, that concludes our public comment, so we'll move on to the next item on the agenda.
Report.
Okay, all right. So it's a report by the Accessory Advisory Committee, Mr. Sheehan.
Welcome. Thank you. All right, it's good to be back. Thank you very much.
I'd like to say, first off, start off by saying thank you to three members of the board who are not going to be returning, Mr. Donsjo, Ms. Comerty, and Mr. Strickland, particularly for the work that they did last year on the budget in helping to keep the buses running, allowing us to retain some of the bus lines that were in jeopardy, and working with us on Metro Access matters. We appreciate the support that these three board members gave to us and are looking forward to Mr. Horner and Mr. McMillan joining the team, coming to Metro Access, coming to AAC meetings, learning what we do, how we do it, with respect to bus rail, Metro Access, and the AAC. So thank you for the members that have participated with our committee, and we encourage the new board members to get to know us, what we stand for, what we're working on, and look for your assistance. Also want to thank the board, particularly for the new members that we have on our committee. They have attended the first meeting, a couple of our subcommittee meetings, and they are an energetic, enthusiastic group. They're going to keep us on our toes this year. They're going to contribute. So I think some good selections were made concerning AAC members, and a lot of them are stepping up, ready to go. So we're real pleased about that. What you have seen in my report to you is a list of the accomplishments that we have had in FY17. Three or four pages on that report. I think it's very well done by the committee. Thank members of my committee for a lot of hard work, particularly in the area of the rail and some of the highlights that I want to talk about. In the rail, a couple of things that were done, particularly in the lighting, a project that we have been working on for about 3 years now, has been funded again for FY17, FY18. We appreciate that. We think the increased lighting is making a difference, not for just low vision folks, visually impaired folks, but also for the public in general. And so we appreciate that project being worked on. We also have noted that the lights, the flashing lights on the side of the tracks, we've gotten rid of the red lights, and now you have the white lights back, which allow for better contrast, which is and uniformity throughout the system. So we appreciate that. With respect to also in the system, the establishments of whiteboards for the deaf community, so you can have interactive communication, two-way communication between someone who is deaf and station managers, particularly in the area of safety. A low-tech solution, support of the board was instrumental, and we want to make sure that continues to be effective throughout the system. Regarding Metro Access, you've heard a little bit this morning from a couple of the committee members on the abilities ride. We're looking forward to that being implemented. We have made several recommendations throughout the last year on what we would like to see within that. We appreciate being consulted on that contract. We look forward to being consulted on other contracts. We look forward to implementing the abilities ride when it is awarded and working through whatever issues may arise concerning the abilities ride. But we think that that's going to be a good cost-cutting measure, and also we're looking forward to that approving efficiency. On the Metro Access front, we are concerned with respect, as Denise said, on the new buses that are being purchased. We are all looking also at the on-time performance. We see that is not at the levels that we want it to be. So we are working with staff to make sure that happens. And regarding bus and rail, we are working on stations, making stations accessible, improving the quality of the driving access, looking at the bus routes, particularly in Prince George's County, to ensure that no one is left behind, that routes are not cut that are going to impact disabled people, that are not going to impact those that are dependent on Metro Access. These are the few of the things that we worked in over the last year. We look for your direction to make sure that we are going to be working on the right issues in FY18. We also want to thank those board members who have attended AAC meetings and participated with us. I have spent a great amount of time at our meetings, usually for the whole meeting, answering questions and back and forth with members of the committee. We appreciate that time. The general manager likewise has attended the meetings and has been forthright and worked with us to make sure that things that that we're looking at either get responded to or continues discussion with us regarding those elements. Lastly, I want to talk about the safety exercises that we have participated in. We think that the participation of the disability community in those safety exercises is important. We have had participation. We could have better participation if the waiver document that we must sign could be modified so that we could look at things like limited liability. We want to continue those discussions so that you can get more participation from the disabled community, particularly the deaf, low vision, blind community on those exercises. We're eager to help, but the limited waiver liability is problematic. So we wish to continue those discussions. Most of all, thank you for working with us, for your participation, and we look forward to another good year in FY18. Thank you. Any questions?
Any questions for Mr. Sheehan? Okay, seeing none, thank you very much, Mr. Sheehan.
Thank you, sir.
Next item on the agenda is a report by the Writers Advisory Council, and that would be Ms. Cortum. Ms. Cortum, welcome to the Metro Board.
Thank you very much. Happy July. On our last meeting at the end of June, I particularly want to thank Kathy Hudgens for coming to speak to us. We love having the board members come to speak to us one or two at a time, having the chance to have conversations with everybody as wide-ranging and sometimes surprising as those conversations might be. It is nonetheless much appreciated. After speaking with Ms. Hudgens, we had a discussion about the COGS plan and the list of priorities that they have for their upcoming long-range plan study. The WMATA RAC was trying to coordinate with the TPB's Citizens Advisory Council. While the citizens groups may have a soft voice in this entire thing, we hope to amplify that voice a little bit by at least being unanimous. So we wanted to make sure that all of the WMATA projects that we saw as important were listed in that, at least as best we possibly could. So all of the WMATA projects that showed up in the long-range plan, the list of projects for the long-range plan, were certainly appreciated by us. Another RAC movement, taking into consideration that we are trying to represent a wide swath of riders, all 6 million of them that are in the metro region, we wanted to make sure that we were not keeping anybody from participating because of the cost of attending the meetings. It would be highly ironic if somebody couldn't afford the transit fare to come to talk about the transit agency. So as a result of that, and I assume in coordination with y'all, we now have a $25 monthly benefit that can be provided to any RAC member who requests it so that the cost of attending the meetings and any peripheral RAC activities is not a burden on their attendance. And hopefully that'll make sure that we are getting as wide a variety of people, at least economically speaking, as we possibly can. Some people come a very long way and take a very long time to come to our meetings, and we don't want that to be a major burden for them. We had a conversation with Nina, thank you, about the retail opportunities that are possible for the system. Another discussion that was relatively wide-ranging and perhaps a little bit surprising, and the RAC will be providing feedback to Nina about possible suggestions for retail, where it might be most useful, what types of retail would be most useful. Water bottles at Smithsonian was certainly a big one, as was perhaps sunblock and sunglasses at Smithsonian for all those wayward tourists. And then one action that is technically a non-action, the RAC has decided to join with every other decision-making board in the D.C. area, apparently, and take a summer recess, specifically in August. However, unlike some of the other boards not in this room in D.C., we do think that we have actually accomplished something to earn a recess. So if there are any questions, I'm happy to take them back to the RAC. Otherwise, we will see you all again in September.
Any questions? Okay, seeing none, thank you very much for your report. Okay, our next item on the agenda is a report by the General Manager, Mr. Wiedefeld.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. I'll keep my comments brief, focusing on our top three priorities, safety, service reliability, and fiscal management. On the safety side, I want to give an update on the Red Line Tunnel project, pilot project. We are now 2 weeks into the Red Line Tunnel pilot project, testing a new routing technique to waterproof the tunnels and interlocking area. Crews are working every weeknight along a half-mile segment of the Red Line Tunnel, and throughout the weekend, in the larger cavernous area that houses the medical center interlocking. The complexity of the project requires 4 consecutive weekends with a shutdown between Grosvenor's and Friendship Heights Station. Over the last two weekends, Metrobus has provided excellent shuttle service, transporting more than 15,000 customers each weekend between those closed stations. The waterproofing technique involves drilling holes through the concrete tunnel walls into the rock mass behind the walls. A polymer grout is then injected through these holes, creating a curtain of impenetrable grout around the tunnel structure. We're on schedule for the pilot to be completed in early August. Its effectiveness will be evaluated this fall when we typically experience rainier conditions and significant water issues in the tunnel. It is important to note that this innovative solution is being tested on just a small portion of the affected areas, and the pilot alone will not solve our problem. Any eventual full solution will take time and significant amount of capital funding. But as we've done with other initiatives, we're attacking this head on, like we've done on track infrastructure, rail car reliability, and I want to try to address the infiltration issues head on and find a sustainable solution as quickly as we can. Our Red Line riders are very familiar with the delays and the water issues, the water issues cause to their travel, and we need to find a solution as quickly as possible. On the Green Line, we also are taking advantage of our lower ridership in August. Next week, we will begin to completely rebuild our Green Line crossover, where trains move from one track to the other. For 16 days, beginning August 5th and the 20th, two stations will be closed, Branch Avenue and Suitland. Outside the work zone, Metro Rail service will not be affected. That means 89 of the 91 Metro stations will be normal service on weekdays during the project. A third station, Naylor Road, will be closed over the weekends of August 12th and 13th and 19th and 20th to do this work. The works are being conducted in a proactive manner so that basically we can get beyond this one, and we'll start the next one shortly thereafter. In terms of service reliability, very good news on the 7000 series. We're more than halfway there in receiving the final order of our 7000 series rail cars. We have 376 of them have now been delivered out of the 748 that we have under contract. The original contract was to be completed by June of 2020. With the accelerated delivery that we've been pursuing, we expect all the cars to be delivered by the summer of 2019, approximately 1 year ahead of schedule, so that I think that's very good for our customers. And finally, on the finance side, a lot of movement on the PREA funding as we welcome the new federal representatives today. I'm pleased to report that our federal PREA funding is moving forward in the fiscal year 18 budget. President Trump has included the PREA funding in the fiscal year 2018 budget request, and the funding is advancing in both chambers of commerce. Congress, on July 17th, the House Appropriations Committee approved the fiscal year 2008 Transportation, Housing, and Urban Development Funding Bill. We were pleased that the bill included the $150 million in the critical PREA funding for WMATA. The bill now awaits consideration by the full House and could be combined with other appropriations bills, including a larger omnibus spending bill. Earlier this week, the Senate Appropriations Committee considered its bill, and we expect it also to include the $150 million in PREA funding. We're obviously very grateful for our congressional delegation and their hard work in support of Metro, and clearly President Trump and the administration for their efforts. I look forward to continuing to work with the administration and the delegation as we continue to keep Metro safe, reliable, and affordable. So with that, I'll be glad to take any questions or comments you may have.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Wiedefeld. Any questions for the General Manager? Okay, thank you very much for your report, Mr. Wiedefeld. Our next item on the agenda is a report by the Capital Planning and Real Estate Committee, Mr. Smedberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The following three items were referred to the board at the July 13th meeting of the Capital Program Planning and Real Estate Committee. The first item is the College Park University of Maryland public hearing staff report. Staff sought approval of the public hearing staff report to close the surface parking lots at College Park University of Maryland Metro Rail Station to allow for a joint development project. The committee approved the following actions. approval of the public hearing staff report for the removal of surface parking lot at the College Park University of Maryland Station, and reapproval of amendments to the general plans and adopted regional system mass transit plan for the College Park University of Maryland Metro Station. I would ask one of my colleagues for a motion for approval.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Evans. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Corker.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it.
Mr. Chairman, the second item is the parking revenue enhancements. Staff sought approval for several parking revenue enhancement proposals, which are designed to increase parking revenue by increasing utilization of parking facilities, generating revenue from non-metro riders, and increasing transit ridership. Additionally, staff requested approval to amend the non-metro user parking fee program to exempt metro employees from being charged non-metro user parking fees. I would note that the resolution before the board today incorporates amendments made at the July 13th committee meeting. I would ask one of my colleagues for a motion for approval.
Okay, thank you. I move the provision at this time. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it.
Mr. Chairman, and the last item is the Union Station Metro Station Entrance and Mezzanine Project. The committee approved the following three actions and is seeking board approval for the same. Construction of the Union Station Metro Station Project. Authority for the general manager and his staff to negotiate and execute two or more reimbursable project agreements with the District of Columbia, the State of Maryland, the Union Station Redevelopment Corporation, and the National Railroad Passenger Corporation, known as Amtrak, for the work and subsequent efforts directly related to Union Station improvements, and addition of the Union Station Metro Station project to Metro's capital improvement program as a reimbursable project. I would ask one of my colleagues for a motion for approval.
Okay, I make a motion. Is there a second? Any discussion?
Is there a second?
Oh, somebody seconded it, didn't you? I thought somebody did. I'm going so fast here. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it.
Mr. Chairman, this concludes the report of the Capital Program and Planning Committee.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Smedberg. Our next item on the agenda is a report by the Consumer Service Operations and Security Committee, Ms. Hudgens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The following item was referred to the board from the Customer Service Operations and Security Committee on July 13th for the approval of the public hearing for FY 2018 bus service changes, revenue neutral. The Customer Service and Operations Security Committee approved the staff's request to hold a public hearing on proposed Metro bus service adjustments to meet changing customer demand and to maximize efficiencies and customer satisfaction. These proposed changes would be revenue neutral. If approved today, the public hearing and public outreach activities would be combined with the public hearing and outreach activities for proposed service additions, which are on today's agenda as part of the Finance Committee report. Mr. Chairman, I move approval of the recommendation.
Motion's been made. Is there a second? Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it.
Thank you. That concludes the report.
Thank you very much. Our next item on the agenda is a report of the Finance Committee. Mr. Goldman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The following two items were referred to the board from the July 13 Finance Committee meeting. The first deals with the Series 2017B debt issuance. Staff sought approval to issue Series 2017B bonds not to exceed $575.2 million in principal, with an all-in interest cost not to exceed 5% and 25 years formal maturity. Proceeds from these bonds fully or partially support the following projects: acquisition of 224 new Series 7000 rail cars, construction of bus maintenance and storage facilities at Cinderband Road and a second one at Andrews Federal Center, replacement of existing wireless communications systems, power upgrades on the orange and blue lines to support increased deployment of 8-car trains, and, among other things, track rehabilitation and maintenance projects. Mr. Chairman, I move approval.
Motion's been made. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Goldman?
Thank you. There is a second item, and that's a public hearing for the FY 2018 Metro Bus service increases. Staff sought approval to conduct a public hearing and associated outreach on proposed bus service improvements requested by jurisdictions, which has already been reported on by Ms. Hudgens. These service improvements would require an overall increase in the Metro Bus subsidy. The public hearing and associated public outreach activities would be combined with the hearing and outreach for the revenue-neutral service changes proposals approved through the Customer Service Operations and Security Committee and approved by the full board in the prior action. Staff would come back to the two committees and the board in the fall for approval to make any changes to service and how such service changes should be funded. I would also note that there is a clerical error regarding the Route X2 bus, and the recommendation was to have flexibility by noting weekend service, not midday service, as stated in the materials. So this reflection should be noted.
Weekday service.
Weekday service, not midday service, as noted in the materials. Mr. Chairman, with those corrections, I move approval.
Motion's been made. Is there a second? Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it.
Mr. Chairman, that concludes my report for the summer.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Goldman. Before we get to the report of the Governance Committee, I'd like to move that we recess the board meeting for 15 minutes and ask my board members to join all of us upstairs. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Before anybody moves, in accordance with the bylaws, I, Jack Evans, request that the Board of Directors convene in executive session to discuss the following matters pursuant to Article 2, Paragraph 9, Subsection B, personnel or labor issues, including discussions of labor contracts and labor negotiations, consideration or interviews of candidates for employment and the assignment, appointment, promotion, performance, demotion, or resignation of individuals. I'd like to move this at this time. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. I'd like to ask my board members to immediately join us upstairs in the conference room. Thank you. Okay, thank you all for indulging us. We're back to our next item on the agenda, which is the report by the Governance Committee.
Thank you very much, Mr. Evans. At this point, I would like to withdraw my report from consideration.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Price. Our next item on the agenda is the consent agenda, which is the Chevy Chase bus station rehabilitation. Is Chevy Chase in Maryland?
Yes.
It's in D.C.
Is in D.C.
Well, you're lucky.
This is at the end of Chevy Chase.
You're lucky. Staff requests board approval for the GM CEO to negotiate and execute a capital agreement with the D.C. Department of Transportation, DDOT, and number two, add the Chevy Chase bus station rehabilitation project to Metro's capital improvement plan, CIP. But since this is in the district, we'll be supporting it. So I'd like to move it at this point in time. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
Since there's a Chevy Chase Maryland, I will support this.
Who's in Maryland?
Nature of comedy.
Yeah.
And cooperation.
Probably wouldn't pass if it was in Maryland.
And since it's mostly our residents that go on the bus.
So anyway, any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Okay, report by the chair. So first we have a recognition of one of our board members who's leaving us, Leif Dormstrom.
Yeah, so he's not physically. He's already left.
He's strongly considered.
So we'll mail Mr. Dormstrom his, is this what he gets?
Yeah.
We'll mail his plaque to him. And the other two members who probably won't be back either, so mail to everybody. Okay. Now we're back to the committee assignments. So let me find my notes here. All right. So, because of the vacancies on the board, we met upstairs and talked a lot, and these are the new committee assignments, and basically they're just replacing the people who left. So I'll read them into the record so everyone is aware of what we're doing. So first, I'd like to move the new committee assignments. Let me say, I'm moving the idea of me reading these into the record.
You can read them now. Just move it and then read them.
Okay. So here we go. Do I need a second?
We have somebody back in the room if you would like to do an official presentation.
Oh, here you are. He didn't leave. He's late. Oh, my gosh. All right.
You gave away your class.
Yeah, I thought you left. We threw it in the mail.
Sure.
Okay. So first I'd like to commend one of my colleagues from the District of Columbia, Leif Dormstro, who has announced his resignation as the director of the District Department of Transportation and also his resignation from the Metro Board. Leif, it has been a pleasure working with you on behalf of all of Metro's riders throughout the region, and especially those riders who live in the District of Columbia. On behalf of the board, I would like to move the following commendation to express our appreciation for your service. Whereas Leif Dormstro has announced his resignation from the Metro Board of Directors effective August 11, 2017, and whereas Mr. Dormstro has faithfully represented the District of Columbia on the Metro Board of Directors since March 2015, and whereas Mr. Dormstro has served on the board's capital program, planning, and real estate committee, and on other committees that serve to oversee Metro's capital planning and joint development processes, and whereas during his tenure on these committees, Mr. Dormstro used his expertise as head of the District Department of Transportation to advocate for development opportunities that strengthen the relationship between transit and the community it serves, and whereas Mr. Dormstro has also served on the Board Safety Committee, including as its vice chair in 2016 and 17, and whereas as Safety Committee vice chair, Mr. Dormstro encouraged the committee to take a strong role in safety oversight, including its recent reaffirmation of Metro's safety management policy statement, and whereas Mr. Dormstro believed in the board's role as a resource for staff and a partner in addressing opportunities and changes. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the WMATA Board of Directors offers its sincere gratitude to Leif Dormstro for his service and leadership as a member of the WMATA Board of Directors. And be it further resolved that the WMATA Board of Directors commends Leif Dormstro for his dedication to providing the best service for WMATA customers and promoting projects and policies that will improve the quality of life for residents of the District of Columbia and the entire Washington region. Leif, why don't you join me up front for a presentation? Leif, but I have a couple comments that I'd like to make on my own. I had the opportunity to work with Leif not only on the Metro Board here, but as the head of the District's Department of Transportation the last two and a half years. And as I said in the newspaper the other day, Leif is one of the finest DDOT directors we've ever had in the District of Columbia. He really instilled a sense of professionalism, but more importantly, was very responsive to the needs of our residents. Over half of the constituent complaints I get in my office through the course of a year are about issues which DDOT has jurisdiction over. And any of you who are elected officials know what I'm talking about. It's the streets, it's the gutters, it's the traffic lights, it's the street post lights, it's everything that touch everybody every day. And Leif was terrific in his head of the department in addressing those needs, as well as the larger needs of the city. And has just concluded, and I'm just gonna tell him, the South Capitol Street Bridge Project, which is gonna be the largest project of over $400 million project down by the baseball stadium in the District of Columbia, and many, many other very enormous accomplishments for the district and for the region. And his role on the Metro Board has been terrific, and he's been a great ally of all of us, and we are going to miss him. So, Leif, thank you very much for your service. Okay, speech.
First of all, I want to thank Chairman Evans. It's been great to work with him in this role, but also on the broad portfolio of things that we need to do in the District of Columbia. from economic development, transportation, quality of life, public safety perspective. So I've had great allies in the city council, and the mayor has been an exemplary leader and supporter of mine from the very beginning. So I do want to thank my supporters in the district government. As it pertains to the board, I wish you luck. The board has made some movement, I think, in the right direction. I hope that we can continue to stay alert. In the early days of my tenure, I think we were sleepwalking towards a crisis, and I think we're well aware where we are, and we cannot kick the can down the line any further. We have to act. We have to act at the board level. We have to act at the regional level. And I would hope that the spirit of collective action overtakes our parochial interests. There's always a time to battle. There's about the time to battle over philosophy and principles. That time has come and ended, and now the time is to beat the swords into plowshares and to tend to the people's work and business of getting this transportation system up and running at a high caliber. And we know it can happen. So I think that whether it's labor or management, whether it's business or the public sector, whether it's the federal government or the local governments, we need to find a way to be for things, not against things. We need to find a way to work together, even if we don't fully appreciate where the other parties are coming from. And I think that the 2.5 years that I've been on the board, I have, to the extent I've been successful, it's been working with people who had different interests than myself or my jurisdiction. And figuring out how to make something happen as opposed to stopping something from happening. And if the region doesn't embrace that sentiment this fall, frankly, in the legislatures and with the public leaders that we've elected, the work that this board and I think the management team has done to change the overall direction of Metro, that will suffer. It will suffer greatly. And so the time to act is now. I've worked with Paul for over 10 years. He's one of the best public servants that I've ever been exposed to. He's a friend, a mentor, someone who's guided me through my career. I've watched him get better, wiser, smarter every year, and I think we have the right man for the job at this time. He's got 100% of my support, and I think we need to focus on helping him and not vilifying he and his management team going forward. We've got a pull behind Paul. He's got tremendous character strength. If you know how Paul Wiedefeld's built, you understand that it's to serve others. It's in his blood, it's in his family, it's in the way that he conducts himself. So let's not squander the leadership that we have at this present time by getting distracted by petty disputes. Let's focus on bigger things. And so I wish you the best of luck. I respect every member of the board here. I think at the end of the day, you share my view. But you have to lead, and I think that this is the time to do it. So best of luck. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you, everyone else.
Jack.
Yes, Mike.
I would just like to add to those words of commendation and thanks to Leif. I think of my colleagues here on the board, I've known Leif the longest since I met him 4 years ago when he was serving in the capacity as Deputy Secretary of Transportation of Maryland.
and was giving me advice from the perspective of what Maryland thought about various matters and various issues. So it was a great joy to join with him again at the beginning of, what year was that? That was 2015, when Leif was appointed district director of transportation and joined with him in the board. He understands the viewpoints of the district. He understands the viewpoints of Maryland. He is a true Metro man, one that's something that we should all aspire to be. And I wish him well in his new career, and I will miss him as a friend and colleague from the last 4 years. Good luck, Leif.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so back to our agenda item. This is approval of the FY 2018 committee assignments. So I'd like to move the following changes to the current committee assignments. Okay, and we went through all this, so it's more of a synopsis version now. Our new member, David Horner, to the Administration Committee and the Finance Committee. Our new member, Steve McMillan, to the Capital Program Planning and Real Estate Committee as chair, to the Executive Committee, and to the Finance Committee. Corbett Price to the Capital Program Planning and Real Estate Committee. Bob Lauby will be the vice chair of the Safety Committee. And Tom Bolger will move to the Safety Committee. Those are the changes. Is there a second? Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Okay. Our last item on the agenda is the reports by the various jurisdictions. District of Columbia, I wanted to mention that yesterday, along with the mayor and others, we unveiled the logo for the 2018 All-Star Game, baseball All-Star Game, which will take place next summer here in the District of Columbia. And the first question, Mr. Wiedefelt, was, will Metro stay open late? So in answer to that, it's important to note we now have a new policy that we do stay open late, and so we will be in discussions with the city and the Major League Baseball that runs the All-Star Game to see how we can put all that together. So that was very interesting. It's a five-day event, so there'll be a lot happening in the district during this time period, and so Metro is a key component of that. When I did meet with Major League Baseball, it's one of the two or three items they brought up is how are we going to transport everybody around? What role can Metro play in that? One of the items, one of the thoughts is, remember for the inauguration in past, they've had a inauguration ticket. Maybe we can have an all-star ticket. So if we start early enough, we can get one printed up, maybe one that accommodates all 4 days. There are a lot of marketing ideas that we can use to address that particular event. Basically, that's it. As board chairman, I'd like to wish everyone a wonderful summer. We will be back again. We always take August off, so we will not have any meetings in August. Our next time of getting together will be the second Thursday in September. And so with that,
we from Maryland, we do have some new news to report.
All right, I'll get to you. I'll get to you.
We're doing that.
Huh?
If we're doing that,
yeah, I'll get to you.
Jurisdiction.
Okay, all right. So that's it from the District of Columbia. Mr. Price, do you have anything else you want to add? WSTC, Ms. Harley. You want to hear Mr. Goldman? Mr. Goldman.
Since we last met last month, there's been a wonderful development by the Federal Court of Appeals on the Purple Line.
Yeah, that's
the
right.
The court has allowed the injunction to be vacated, which means that the Purple Line can go forward, and so the state is in the process of final steps for putting in place the final funding package for the Purple Line, which, as many of you know, will run from New Carrollton Station in Prince George's County to Bethesda Station in Montgomery County, stopping en route at the University of Maryland Station and the Silver Spring Station. It will be a wonderful addition to our regional transportation system, and it will be very much integrated with WMATA and Metro at those four points, although it will be owned and operated by the state of Maryland. So good news, and look for more of this space in the coming months.
Okay, thank you very much. From Virginia, Mr.
The state of Virginia has nothing to
report at this time.
Okay, thank you very much. And finally, from the federal government, Mr. Lauby.
Yes, I just want to take a moment to publicly thank Carol Carmody and David Strickland for the hard work and their service to both the Secretary of Transportation and WMATA Board. And I want to officially welcome Mr. David Horner and Stephen McMillan to the Metro Board. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. And with that, we will reconvene upstairs so we don't have to reread the executive committee, because we're still in executive committee upstairs. And I want to thank you very much, and everyone have a good summer. Meeting's adjourned.